Welcome to the First Baptist Barberville Weekly Sermon Podcast. At FBC Barberville, our mission is to gather, grow, give, and go. Join us for live worship on the Court Square in Barberville, Kentucky, or to learn more about our church, visit fbcbarberville.com. Here is Pastor Tyler Shields.
All right, last week we were in Nehemiah chapter 5, and we talked about our church family. And man, I'm just always reminded week in and week out now, what a wonderful church family we have. I love my church family. We're really blessed. This week we're going to learn a little bit more about Nehemiah the person. We have seen how Nehemiah is a man of God, how he's intentionally focused on the task and the work that God's given him, that he's a great leader who motivates people, he brings people together, he fosters unity, he addresses problems, he holds people accountable. But this morning we're going to see something a little different in Nehemiah, and that's that he actually loves people. He genuinely loves people, and that grows out of his love for God. I would add this: if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you have to love people. There's no exception to that. And if you can't love people, if you don't love people, you probably don't have a very healthy relationship with God. And we'll need to talk about that. So today, we're going to look at the importance of what it really means to love people, because it's not always easy, is it? Some of us are a little hard to love. Some people should just come with a tag that says extra grace required. So we're just tough to love. And I get that, but at the same time, we're commanded time and time again to love others. And it's not always natural for us. We're innately selfish creatures. Sometimes we want to love people because we have ulterior motives. But God expects us to love one another and to love people. It's the same kind of love that our Father loves us with, this agape, this deep-rooted sacrificial love, the same kind of love that sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross is the same kind of love that we're supposed to love others with. Look at Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 14 through 19 this morning. Nehemiah 5:14 says this. It says, "Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah until his 32nd year, 12 years. Neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the early governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people." Notice the language here. "But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people." And he concludes with this: "Remember me with favor, my God, for all I've done for these people." What Nehemiah is telling us here is that he was a little different than the others that had gone on before him. He had, those other governors, those other nobles, those other leaders had taken full advantage of their positions, taken full advantage of the people. But Nehemiah says, out of reverence for God, I just didn't act like that. That's the first point I want to make this morning about loving people. If you're going to love people, you must love God exceedingly. If you're going to love people, you have to love God first. In the movie Fireproof, but you haven't seen that, I highly encourage you to watch it. It's a movie about marriage, another Kendrick Brothers movie. But the character that Kirk Cameron's playing is having trouble with his marriage and his wife. And he's talking to his dad. They're going out for a walk along this lake. And they come to this like a fire circle where you can imagine church groups or families gather and sit along the lake, and there's a big old wooden cross standing at the end of this circle. And Kirk Cameron's character is telling the old man, he says, "Dad, how am I supposed to show love to somebody over and over and over and over again who constantly rejects me?" And the old man goes and he stands next to that cross and kind of leans up against it. He says, "Son, that's a really good question." And the point he's making is that you can't give to other people what you yourself don't already have. You see, until you've personally experienced that life-changing, soul-satisfying, sinner-saving, never-ending love of God in your own life, in your own heart, you simply do not know how to love other people the right way. And until you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, that which means literally with everything in you, then you can't love your neighbor like yourself. Till you know God's love, you can't love your spouse the way that they deserve. You can't love your children like they need to be loved until you love God and you've experienced His love in your own life. And you've got to love Him exceedingly. Love Him with every ounce of every fiber of your being. It's the way we're supposed to love the Lord. It's where it all starts. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love because He first loved us." And until, again, you've experienced the love of God, and once you have, you'll know it, because you'll never be the same. But until you've experienced that love, you simply do not know how to love your fellow man as you're supposed to. So how does God teach us to love? I think the greatest lesson He gives us is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent His own Son to die for us. We didn't deserve God's love. We couldn't earn God's love. We can't unearn God's love. But He loved us anyway, and there's no strings attached. And see, that's the purest kind of love and the greatest example of love that I think we'll ever see. But the question for us is, how do we in turn love God? How do we love Him more and love Him better and love Him with everything in us? And I think it starts by loving Him with everything that we have. All of our time, our energy, our resources, everything in our life. We put God first in every single area of our lives. We prioritize Him. We, as Jesus would say, long for Him and hunger and thirst for His righteousness. The Bible tells us that we have to love Him by keeping His commandments, by being obedient to the Lord, by being in His Word and knowing what His standards are and wanting to follow and obey His will for our lives. We worship Him. We find joy in praising God our Father and building a relationship with Him, going deeper in that relationship. We love Him by spending time with Him, time in prayer, time in His Word, allowing Him to speak directly to our hearts, and just spending time with our Heavenly Father. And then ultimately we love Him by loving others, and that's what we're talking about this morning. But it all starts with loving God Himself above everything else. The second thing we got to understand is if we're going to love people, it will cost you exceptionally. There was a pastor and his family that knew this other family that honestly they weren't even part of their church, didn't at the time even live in the same town, but they knew these folks, they cared about them. And this mother and father had recently divorced, they had a little son. And this mother and son were doing okay, but I'll be honest, they were a little hard to love. Some of the folks in their family had kind of been hard on them. Some of the folks in the church had been a little hard on them because of the situation. But this pastor and his family basically adopted this lady and her son. And they would have them over and, literally spend the weekend with them, go to church with them, have fun with them, just let them eat from their table. And the little boy thought it was all just like a big sleepover. You know, that it was just having fun playing with the pastor's kids. And what he didn't realize is that he and his mother were getting loved on. And as they were eating from the pastor's table and getting the pastor's busy time, they were being discipled. And they were experiencing healing through this love and through the sacrifice that this family was making for them. And all these years later, as I've reflected on this, I can tell you, I would not be here today, I don't think, if not for Tom and Ann that loved us and sacrificed that for us. I'll tell you, a pastor's life and schedule is busy. And it's hard to find time to love people like that. And it costs. But I may not be standing before you as your pastor in that kind of love. Loving people will often cost you energy. You all know how that feels. It will cost you time. It'll cost you material things. It'll also cost you some disappointments and some setbacks because you're going to love folks and they're not always going to live up to your expectations. But you keep on loving them because that's what God has told us to do, and that's the way that God loves us. You see, true love, the agape kind of love in the Greek, is a sacrificial love. And we look at Nehemiah's story. According to his status and the custom and the traditions that had been set in place, Nehemiah could have got a lot of benefits from his position. But he says because he loved God and he loved these people, he sacrificed all those things. He set aside the perks. He set aside the fine food and the fine treatment. Could have had land, but he didn't. He didn't take land. He didn't take the taxes from the people. He just loved them. He even let them come and eat from his table. And when you practice loving people that way, the way that God loves people, it's simply just going to cost you. And if you're going to be obedient to Christ's command to love your neighbor as yourself, you've got to come to the point where you're okay with that cost. You just do it. Jesus said, when somebody takes your shirt, give them your coat also. It may cost you physically and materially. He said, if someone makes you go a mile, go with them 2 miles. It may cost you some time and energy. It means sometimes you're going to have to love, and you're not going to get anything in return. And that's okay. You say, that don't sound fair. It's just what Jesus said. What did he say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5? He said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love people the way your heavenly Father loves people. And we wonder, preacher, what about them people that's taking advantage of you? What about them people that take advantage of the church? They come to get what they can and they never come back and they're just ripping us off. What about when people start talking about me hanging out down there in them places trying to be with them people and they think I'm becoming one of them and all that? Blah, blah, blah. It don't matter. You love them. You love them. God doesn't tell us to love some and forget the rest. All of them are precious in God's sight. I believe that Jesus Christ died the same for the guy down the road as he did for me, folks. He doesn't tell us which ones to love. He just says love them. That means, yeah, you love your Christian neighbor, but you also love your unchristian neighbor. You love your poor neighbor and your drunk neighbor and your neighbor that's got a lot of problems. You just love them. You don't always have to condone their actions, but you show them the love of God. You may be the absolute closest thing that they will ever experience in their life to the true love of God. And you may just love them right into a relationship with the Lord. It won't be easy. And it might cost you. But here's the thing. Here's the final point we see this morning. If you're going to love people, yeah, you got to love God. It's going to cost you exceptionally. But here's the thing. It will be worth it. Eventually. One of these days. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is speaking of eternity. He's talking about judgment and eternal things. And he says this. It's really interesting. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You see, for Nehemiah, he loved the people, but it wasn't just about loving the people. He had a larger agenda in mind. His love was rooted, as he says, in his deep reverence for God himself. And it goes back to what we said. If you're going to love people, you got to love God. And when you do love people, God will be pleased with that. He says, remember me with favor, my God. Why? For all I've done for these people. He's literally saying, remember me with grace. Remember me graciously, my God, not because of this wall. This wall may be what you told me to do, and this may be the work that we have to get done, but don't remember me for that. Remember me for what I've done for these people in the process. Remember me how I've loved them and cared for them and taken care of them and led them closer to you through this process of this work. I think the point for us is that we can do a lot of really great things, church. We can build walls, or we can build buildings, we can build ministries, we can strut around and talk the talk, and we can give all this money away for all these wonderful causes, but if we fail to love people in the process, we've missed the mark. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. You can do all these good things, but if you do it without love, God is not pleased. There's no reward for no love. We can have gifts, we can have faith, we can have knowledge and talents, we can be so generous that we sell everything we own and give it all to the poor, but if we don't do it out of love, there's nothing to gain. I think for our church, for the church at large, one of the greatest things that we can do in 2020 is get back to the simple act of loving people. Going out of our way just to spend time with folks, to acknowledge people, to go be with them right where they're at, and just love them. No strings attached. I don't even care if they come to church right away. Just love them. That's what we're supposed to do. So, here's the challenge for you guys. What's stopping you from loving people like that? Do you have a hard time loving people? Maybe because it costs too much. It takes too much time. It takes too much energy. Some people will drain you dry. It takes too many of your resources. Do you just have a hard time loving people because you don't genuine? There's that word again. Genuinely, I can't speak on that. You don't really love people. You don't like them. How's that? Do you have a hard time loving people because you don't feel like there's anything to be gained in return? Some people are hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to love people because there's something in your way too. There's a hatred or a bitterness or a hurt in your heart that's keeping you from showing that kind of love. Loving people the way that Christ loved people is one of the most difficult things that I think we're commanded to do in the Word. But at the same time, it's the most rewarding. Isn't it, Tom? So I challenge you, whatever is keeping you from loving folks, or maybe you've never experienced God's love yourself, let's set that straight this morning. Let's commit to being obedient to what God says and what Jesus Christ said, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's stand together this morning. I want to pray for us as a church. Some of us have never had that kind of love in our lives. We've never had the example of a loving father, a loving mother, or people that just genuinely really loved us. But the Bible says that God's love is so pure that it drowns out all fears. It drowns out all regrets, all past hurts. It drowns out all of our regrets, even our doubts. And God, the Father, is ready to pour His love on you this morning if you've never experienced it before. And I tell you what, if you never have and you do this morning, you'll never, ever be the same. It's the greatest experience and the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Let's pray. Father, this morning we're so thankful, first and foremost, for Your love. Thank You that You loved each and every one of us enough, in spite of our many mistakes and our many failures. You loved us enough that You would send Your only Son into this world to die on a cross for our sins. Lord, what love to give Your own Son for people that don't deserve it. Lord, in turn, I pray that we would love You with every ounce of our being today. And not only that, I pray that that love would pour out of us and that we could love people, that we could love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Father, forgive us for not showing the love that we've experienced in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to be an extension of Your love in this world. Help us to love our fellow man, even when it costs, even when it hurts. Help us to love like Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. If there's a decision you need to make this morning, if you just want to come.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Sermon Podcast. Please subscribe, but also join us live in person on the Court Square in Barberville, or find us on YouTube by searching FBC Barberville, on Instagram at @First_Baptist_Barberville, on Twitter at @BarbervilleFBC, or on our Facebook page, First Baptist Barberville.